Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan. 1080 AM, The Odyssey app. Live on YouTube.
What are we doing here?
We're doing a lot. We're doing a lot today. It's been a fun show so far. 1 hour down. 3 hours to go. We got the Magic Hat coming up in the next hour. We got Brady Henderson in the final hour. And NFL football will be back on your television tonight. And you know how that makes me feel.
Red 85. Fat hot.
Makes me feel fantastic. Mm. I do have it's a great text that came in. And it'll just be a question before we enter into the cafe. They're a little busy today. We're waiting for our table.
That's okay.
Somebody asking if we need to clip the What If segment and put it on YouTube. Fantastic questions, and I need to share with my friends so we can get into a massive argument tonight while watching preseason football, which I love the idea of that. But it also does it does beg the question, like, that's one of the bigger ones of the last 20 years in sports for me, the Kevin Durant decision and the careers and legacies that it impacted by him joining Golden State. Do you have any other big ones that rattle around in your head? I'll throw one at
you. Well, we had one from last week, and I think Blazer fans continue to do this. What if Greg Oden had a normal NBA career health-wise?
Right. If he would have continued on the trajectory when he was having some of those games and moments where you're like, damn, this guy could dominate the league as a big, and then it's gone, just like that. I think a huge one in the NFL for me is, what if the Niners got the drafting of a quarterback right at the start of their run, right? Because they had the year where they took Solomon Thomas when Patrick Mahomes was drafted, what, 8th overall, 9th overall?
Yeah.
And they had the 3rd or 4th pick, and they took Solomon Thomas, who was terrible, and Mahomes went on to become Mahomes. Like, that's one that's always lingered in my head of, like, and I think it was the next year or the year after that, they took Trey Lance with the top five pick, and they decided we don't need a quarterback yet, and then, oops, yeah, we do need a quarterback, and they whiffed on it. Now, eventually landed Purdy, but that's one that lingered. Like, could you imagine that coach, that defense, and that, what they built, having Patrick Mahomes a quarterback? And what are we saying about them right now? And Shanahan, and the legacy talk, and all that stuff, like, baseball is harder to do.
The baseball one is easy for me, and I'm hoping I remember the year right. I think it was 1983, the strike year.
Yeah.
And
Tony Gwynn, 400 or what?
No, the Montreal Expos were
in first place. Wasn't that 94?
No. 94 was the year there was a lockout, no World Series.
Okay. But weren't the Expos in first place that year? Am I misremembering that?
They might have been.
I thought the storylines from that year were the Expos were in first, and then Griffey was on pace to break the home run record at the time, and then obviously never was given a chance.
Theirs revolve around the work stoppages.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, those are, the work stoppages would be big. Historically speaking, there's some big ones you can point back to, but like in terms of player movement or acquisitions or that kind of stuff, like you could certainly put different guys on different teams. It's a fun thought experiment about, man, how different things could be, right? Like, in college football, a big one for me for the last 10, 15 years is, what if Nick Saban worked in the NFL and he didn't go back to Alabama?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how many different national champions do we have?
True.
Alabama was in the dumpster. They sucked when they hired Nick Saban. They were irrelevant.
Was that the Mike Shula
era? They were awful. And then Saban comes in and he won, what, 6 championships in 15 years or whatever it was?
A couple of years, but he got there.
I think it only took him 3, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah.
Well, obviously, the big one for Ducks fans. What if Dennis Dixon never gets hurt?
Yeah, that's huge, right? So it's a fun thought experiment. I had that with the Westbrook retirement yesterday and thinking about Kevin Durant not joining.
I think our table's right.
Table is ready. Here we go. Let's get to the cafe. Your menu today, the special is simple. Dirt's running the kitchen, so we're getting a meat lover breakfast burrito.
Oh, there
Bacon,
you go.
Bacon, sausage, cheese, little bit of potato. Not too many potatoes.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of, I need
I
a little
have a
potato.
Tortilla, so that's enough carbs.
Just a pequeño potato.
When you throw the potatoes on top of it, it overwhelms.
You know, not a big potato guy the burrito.
I'm
too much going on there.
At that point.
We're going to go red salsa, green salsa, and hot sauce inside the burrito. And then we'll probably throw a couple of veggies in there to make you happy. Maybe some onions, maybe some bell peppers.
See, I love the fajita onions and peppers.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I think that
could be in my
breakfast
burrito. The
right level of stuff.
Just maybe double meet me, okay? That's all I'm asking for. Double meet me, all right? Don't screw around with me here. Well, it continued yesterday.
Grisham, this one to right center field. Did he do it again? Touch of all time! A twofer for Trent Grisham. 2 more runs batted in. 5-4 in the game, and the Yankees are rolling right now.
And you thought They were up 3-1. They hit 3-1 or 4-1. They hit three home runs in the first three innings, and you're
okay. 3-1, and then 4-1 after the top of the third. They scored three in the top of the first, the Seattle Mariners did, and then gave up two in the fifth, three in the seventh, two in the eighth. The bullpen crapped out again.
Well, Bryce Miller couldn't.
And the Mariners lost another game. This time, again to the Yankees. Their division gap is now 5.5 games. Yeah. The Astros are beating up on my Giants. Unfortunately for the Mariners, they don't get to play the Giants right now. And the Astros are now 5.5 up in the AL West, and they are games below 500. Games below.
Getaway day today.
And then they got a series against the Astros this weekend.
And if that's it.
Yeah.
If they want to get back into it, they have to sweep them.
Let me see the wild card standings right now.
There's too many teams. They're like five back, but there's like six teams between them and the last wild card slot.
Yeah, they're four games back right now, but Baltimore's ahead of them, Toronto's ahead of them, Cleveland's ahead of them, Detroit's ahead of them, and Minnesota's ahead of them. And then Texas right now has the last wild card spot at 60 and 61. So, not looking great right now, Bob. Not looking great.
10:35 this morning in the Bronx. They got to go and get Max Fried.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Logan Gilbert.
You score three in the top of the first. You're thinking, hey, the offense is going to show up tonight. Then the team gives up 10.
And then you got a weekend series in Houston.
Not going great in Seattle right now. T's and P's to Mariner
fans. And I think when
they
get home, like their next homestand, it's the Phillies and Cubs.
Ooh. Not getting any.
What are we doing here?
Probably not going back to the playoffs.
There should be. I don't know if there will be. There should be a major house cleaning if this continues this year.
Yeah.
Everybody's we talked about it. Fire Dan Wilson. Firing Dan Wilson isn't going to solve.
The bullpen sucks. It's not his fault that the bullpen sucks.
So
it's not his fault that certain guys can't. I don't know.
Now, if you don't think Dan Wilson's the guy moving forward or whatever,
you went to the ALCS last year with him last year.
Just start over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a cleaning a house.
I mean, not really. If I were the manager, I'd probably do it too. He walked me through everything, and it all made sense. Wish I could have gone more, but kind of is what it is.
That is Paul Skenes yesterday. He was pulled in the sixth inning.
It was Tuesday's game.
My apologies. Pulled in the sixth inning after only 65 pitches, and his velocity continues to dip, and the numbers are not getting any better. And this is becoming a, you kind of poo-poo it at first, or you think, all right, how's this actually going to turn out? His numbers are not necessarily awful when you just compare him to the general ballpark of major league pitchers.
No, but when you compare them to what he was, he's done, and this is where I'm with my medical team going, okay, I need some medical explanation, because it's not like Skenes is, unless something's going on behind the scenes that we are totally unaware of.
Right.
But, he is a dedicated professional athlete doing all of the things that you would hope a number one ace starting pitcher would do.
Right.
In the offseason and workouts and how he goes about it. So please explain something to me medically, because this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a fundamental thing in terms of his windup and a mechanical thing that you can change.
If there's some undiagnosed issue in a shoulder or somewhere
It's very alarming if you're a Pirates fan, because he was certainly the best pitcher in baseball over the last 2 years. And it wasn't like he was a guy. You go back, look at Kershaw early in his career. How many 200-inning seasons did he have, right? It was like every year, and somehow his arm never fell off. He threw 133 innings his first year and 187 last year. So it's not like he's topping over that threshold that you think you may be running him into the ground. He's only at 134 innings right now, and his ERA is up to 3.88. It's almost basically double of what it was last year, just shy of two, and similarly the year before that. The tough part is, if you're Pittsburgh, let me see where. Because I know they're not necessarily winning. Yeah, they're six games out of the wild card. At what point do you entertain the notion of
shutting him down,
dialing this thing completely back? And I'm not a fan of being overly cautious with pitchers, because I think that has become an epidemic in baseball, where guys have a perfect game through seven and we pull them.
Love the fact the Dodgers last night let their young kid go 107 pitches. He only got through six. He kind of labored, but they got behind early. They didn't panic.
Yeah.
And they let him go out there for 107.
You got to learn how to work your way out of a jam.
Worked his way out of it. Eventually, they got him the lead, and there you go.
They have lost three in a row, the Pirates have, one of those being Skeen Starn on Tuesday. And they're six games out of the wild card spot. Like, you're encroaching on that territory of, like, what's the point here? Because these numbers continue to go down. We got to figure out what the hell's going on.
They got to figure it out. If you're the manager, if you're the GM in that, the owner going, what? Somebody point to something. Somebody go through all of the video and see how he's changed his motion or something.
Right.
Because this doesn't make any sense.
Because it's one thing for a guy to come off a UCL or a Tommy John surgery and you're like, all right, he was pumping 98, now he's pumping 95. We'll work his strength back up. There's not been some significant tear or injury that we're aware of.
He still gets to go home to Livy Dunn.
Yes, he does. Life's not bad for Paul Skeens, but he's trying to figure this out right now. And Pirates fans, I know, are a little alarmed.
Everybody's
currently
alarmed.
Uh-oh, what's going on here?
Order up! Because we want to be aggressive in every way, whatever we can do, find everything out we can about any situation player that can help us be better, probably. I would say that's it. The margins are tight in the National Football. You try to win a game. You come up with a good play. You can find a play on the internet that somebody puts out there that one of your opponents is running in practice. Man, you look for those too. So we're looking for players that can help us all the time. And he's a player that can help us. Now, I know your next question, follow-up question, is going to be, you know, his circumstances. And that's something that also the organization has studied very deeply. You know, I've got an overview of it. The organization has looked at it in depth. If there is a decision to be made on any player that, you know, you don't want to go there with a player, then this organization, they won't go there. You know, and so that decision would also have to be made. Just understanding everything that goes on with that. It's more than just what you read in the papers, though. I mean, you got to find out exactly where everything stands. And I think I do know that our people do a great job of that.
That is John Harbaugh yesterday, and they worked out Terrion Arnold, who Seattle had just worked out, and that was highlighted on Hard Knocks two nights ago.
Certainly from a talent standpoint,
nobody doubts it.
There's a market for him. The question is the off-field.
I mean, the reality of the NFL has always been and will always be there is a scale of talent versus crime we're willing to put up with. And if you are a practice squad player who's accused of doing what Terrion Arnold did, you are not playing in the NFL ever again. If you are Rashee Rice and there's video out there, somebody's going to give you at some point, you're going to get another opportunity. And so that's the thing about him, that teams are working him out because he's a hell of a player. We don't have to like the system. We don't have to like that's the way it operates, but that's the way it's always going to be in the NFL. And so Seattle worked him out. I know the Giants just worked him out. I believe he has a workout schedule with New Orleans, and I think there was one other team in there. And it's an indicator of like, hey, man, you want to sign him, you're going to have some competition here, where maybe some of these teams thought, hey, we'll be the one that takes the flyer on him, and now he's getting multiple workouts. It's more of a question of, like, if you're Seattle, you certainly want to add to your team. I would worry about the distraction, but you certainly trust your head coach, and Schneider's been one of the best GMs in, you know, this generation of football. Maybe you're not quite as worried about that, of just like, I don't know if I want to bring all of these eyeballs and the attention that signing a guy like that after what he was accused of and what he is currently or at some point going to have to stay in trial for. A team like the Giants, it makes more sense. You're trying to cut through. You're looking for as many talented players as you can find. Your defense is already pretty solid, and now you add another player of that caliber. Like, I think the risk should be more on the Giants side than Seattle side here. But I'm going to be curious to see how it plays out. And teams are vetting him and talking to guys he played with at Alabama. Like, he was not a guy, to my knowledge, that in his time in Detroit ever gotten into trouble. Kind of came out of nowhere, this story a couple of weeks ago. Lions moved quickly to cut him, and now other teams are calling around. I did read, and we'll talk to Brady Henderson about this coming up at 9:25. Seattle is under the assumption, I believe, according to Brady, that they believe if they are the ones that sign him or whoever ends up signing him, that he's available to play in the preseason, that there's not some NFL designation on him, there's not some active suspension, it's an ongoing court case, and so they believe if they sign him, he could play immediately.
Usually the NFL, unless they have, like, hard video evidence or something like that, where
you're on the commissioner's exempt list or whatever.
Process play out.
Yeah, they feel like we can play him right away. Go sign him, he can help you out.
Based on whatever comes of that, then they will make any disciplinary as it relates to your football career.
Yeah, we'll wait and see how that one goes. We'll talk to Brady Henderson a little bit more about that coming up at 9:25 later this morning.
Order up! I'm not sure what information was talked about or said, but I mean, I know that kid just practiced his butt off. You know, he had a really good day of practice today. He finished runs. He's continued to get his body in shape. He's a really hard worker. He works in and on and off the field, and you know, he's continuing to become a leader every single day.
That is Rashad Samples, the running back coach of Oregon, and I believe co-OC, I think, is his title.
Yeah, what's going on down there?
This is just – Duck fans are hilarious, and there's this happens two or three times a year. Sometimes it ends up being true. Sometimes it's completely made up, and I don't know where the hell it comes from. But there's these random reports. And look, part of this, to be fair, is on the football team running their practice like a black ops site.
This is why once a week you need to let – like the day that you're not really – I mean –
Yeah, it's the NFL. If the NFL teams can have fans and media literally every practice that they have,
yeah.
It's hilarious to me that college programs operate this way as if, you know, oh, there's an employee, I'm gonna write that down. Of course, some of that stuff is going
now,
to happen.
Now, part of it is when we went from people that went and got journalism degrees and understood the nature of to bloggers and all of that, and they wanted to let everybody in. So, yeah, you we lost the balance.
Yeah, it was trending on Twitter yesterday that Jordan Davidson, number one running back,
was out
at Oregon,
like 6 to 8 weeks or
had
something.
Broke his collarbone and was going to miss 2 months of the season. And he was coming off, remember, at the end of last year, he had the injury
right.
And then it re-injured against Texas Tech, and he was not able to play in the Indiana game, which is, you know, part of the problem that they had in that final game of the season last year. And so everybody collectively just moans and groans like, oh, God, here we go again, already an early injury. And we've seen a couple of those throughout camps. USC lost their starting center last week. Some USC fans think it's a big deal. Others don't. But their starting center went down.
Well, there's
kind of
two
a freak,
ways for
non-contact.
The Ducks to fix this. One is open up a portion of practice when
never
he's out there going through drills. Or two, make him available to the media. And
the irony of it was you had Samples talking, and he gave that answer. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He just practiced. Everybody confirmed who, you know, has sourcing down there that he was at a full participant at practice yesterday. And then the team on their social media feeds, kind of knowing that this was happening, put out highlights of him in practice running through people saying,
okay,
he had a great day. Here's a long run.
Here he is.
Jordan Davidson. He's okay. So I remember this happening with DeCorian Moore early in the year last year, where there was a moment where it kind of a viral trending thing online of like, oh, he's hurt, he's not going to play this week. And I remember asking somebody, is he not going to play? And the response was, he was just at practice. What are you talking about? And so just be careful sometimes with the social media trends that happen. Just an early lesson to Duck fans. Sounds like Jordan Davidson's okay. And according to Rod Samples, he was at practice yesterday.
Order up!
It's pretty incredible. Did you see? No, the people are great in Louisiana. The passion, you know, just walking down the street is pretty incredible. Just, you know, the way that they love the state and put on for the state, you know, it just makes you want to be here even more. People around the facility just showing so much love to Baton Rouge and the entire area. You know, it's just been a blessing being out here. You know, I didn't think, I really didn't even, you know, I'm from Oregon, so Louisiana kind of felt almost fake to me in a way. I didn't think it was a real place. But after being out here, you know, I just love the trees, and I've always wanted to be in the South. The humidity obviously was something I had to get used to, but I love it now. I love the way it makes my skin feel and, you know, everything like that. So it's been amazing.
You like the way the humidity makes your skin feel?
No.
No, you're not a humidity guy?
I needed a shower four times a day.
Sam Levitt down in Louisiana. The main reason I pulled that one, I'm very curious to see how he does this year. Local kid, obviously, like, he's going to be a headline quarterback this year in college football with Lane Kiffin and that Ole Miss game and everything going on. Westland kid's going to be one of the biggest talked about names in the entire sport. It was mainly just the joy of hearing somebody from Oregon saying something that everybody who's not from Oregon says about Oregon, if that makes
exactly.
sense. Like, oh, you got the Oregon Trail out there? What's going on? You got roads?
Like, we still it was have just, covered wagons.
It was just funny
here.
To hear somebody flip it and say, I didn't even know Louisiana.
And we all own horses.
We do. Horse and buggy. That's how I get to work every day.
Just in the early on field work, has anybody maybe popped out or surprised you in a way, just in terms of their progression from the spring to the summer?
No. Everybody's just working. There's a bunch of nobodies. We'll see if anybody becomes somebody. as we play some games.
Bunch of nobodies down there in Clemson, South Carolina. And the irony is not lost on me that those back-to-back clips are from two teams who are going to play each other in week one. And
there you
talk about the boom or bust of a win on either side. If LSU comes out and lays an egg in their first game and loses to Clemson.
Adopting your philosophy. Nobody giving us a chance.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do if you're Dabo at this point, right? You got to rally troops however you got to rally troops. It's just the loser of that game, oh my God, because LSU will freak if they lose to Clemson. The schedule's only getting harder from there. If Clemson loses, they're already in this weird spot
they're
of like.
They're already in a weird spot. They're still in the ACC. Do they play Miami in the regular season?
They do? I don't know. That's a great question. I do not know. It would be very ACC of them for those two teams to not play.
Well, there's 400 teams in the ACC.
There are. That is factually correct. 400 teams.
Who's really not in it?
400 teams plus Notre Dame. They do play Clemson. Clemson hosts them on October 3rd.
Okay, so you lose that. You got a month to get your crap together.
Yeah. It's just funny to think about the ramifications of that game, and I love Dabo. Nobody give us a chance. Last but not least.
It's time to get going. You know, we stepped up. We brought our best offer forward. This is our starting point. Now let's start talking, and that's the most important point we'd like to really take out of this today.
Hey, 8-4. We did it! Kind of! We can start negotiating! That is Mayor Wilson. Yesterday, the city council voted 8-4. What was in it? What are the amendments? How has the team responded to it? Let's update you and get into it. The Moda Center funding package is now reaching its next phase, and we'll talk about it on 105.1 FM, The Fan. All right, talk some college football coming up top of the hour. A question I have about the upcoming season, and I'll throw it at you. It's coming up in about 30 minutes from now. The big local news yesterday was the fact that the Portland City Council voted in a 8-4 manner to pass the funding MOU resolution to begin the negotiating process of renovating the Moda Center. Now, this is not the most important aspect of it, but I did get a great chuckle. Did you see who caught a stray yesterday during the proceedings? Did you see this?
I missed the actual debate and process.
So at the end of everything, the counselors are going through, making their votes. It's incredibly boring. I tried my best to follow along. And again, thanks to our guy, Wright Gazaway, who was there. And he didn't do a full live play-by-play, but he was kind of, here's the gist of it. Yeah. This is what you need to know. Counselor Novick, who was the one that kind of threw this into a bit of a tailspin with the threat of the lawsuit weeks ago of like, well, first class, it's got to be first class, we'll sue you. And then that sent everybody into a tizzy. I will say he had a hilarious line in his final, he was making his closing argument. I believe he ended up voting yes for it, but don't quote me on that. But he said, and when talking to the Blazers about the tax and the increase in the tax and all that, would you rather pay $6 million a year for a nice new arena or Clint Capela? And everybody's like, whoa, dude, what did Clint Capela do to deserve that? Just completely out of left field. So that, look, it's not the most important thing, but I did chuckle out loud when I saw that quote. It made me laugh. And Clint Capela somewhere just catching a stray, $6 million a year. Here's how it all went down and what is in the term sheet that the city council is now going to send over to the organization. And I'll also read the team's response to this because, hey, look, the team actually responded to it. So here we go. Maybe we got some progress. The final vote was 8-4. The concern was, I mean, even if it was 6-6, Wright told us that yesterday, that they would get the tie-breaking vote from the mayor. So even if it's 6-6, don't really worry. 7-5 would be nice. 8-4 was ideal, and I'll explain that in a moment. But they are asking for $3.1 million in rent that goes up throughout the length of the deal, $3 million in property tax offset payment, up to $120 million for renovations, $275 million for ongoing CapEx, overruns on the Blazers, they want community benefits, and they want the final approval on renovation plans from a joint authority. Essentially, we want to have a say in how this is all going to look because we're providing the money for it. The reason why I think the 8-4 vote was significant, I don't know where this is all going to go from here. It's going to be a very contentious negotiation.
Well, we are
long ways away.
Yeah,
from
you're
done.
Charging me $6.25 million off the top per year, and that's right. Going to go up annually based on inflation.
Exactly.
That's going to get Tom Dundon's attention.
It'll be a non-starter from the Blazers.
That's where they're going to start.
To the city council's credit, though. One, if you're going into negotiation, you always start with you're not going to start with $1.1 million. And he says, okay, fine, deal. Like, you're going to start with something that's aggressive that you know he won't agree to, that you can then whittle down from there, right? Like, that's how negotiations go.
And unfortunately, Tom Dundon's brought that on based on previous stuff. It's like,
yes.
We have to start here Because if we start where we want to end up, that's he's not going to
He'll whittle you down from there. He'll get you even lower than that. So,
and that's where I wish maybe there had been more of an understanding initially when things were presented to him when he purchased it. Here, this is what the package looks like. So that you could just go, hey, if we do this, I don't want to go 12 rounds with you. Sign the damn thing and
right.
let's go.
Here's what we want. Just get it done.
And now that's not going to happen. And so fans are still – nobody's convinced yet.
Well, no, so this certainly was not going to go – the vote yesterday was never a indicator of this being
done. I'm just glad
done.
There wasn't more nonsense wrangling behind the scenes of
no,
shouldn't be doing this.
No, and that was like – when you look through what they're asking for here, and this is why I think if you missed our Ryan Gasaway interview yesterday, I recommend going and listening to it because – we can follow this story locally. How it pertains to the rest of the league and these other deals is what makes it interesting to me. Because when we think of the Portland City Council, we don't have a very positive opinion of them.
No.
I can't imagine their approval rating is very high, but it is Portland, so you never know. And there's probably this theory in your head of like, oh, God, we're asking for these asinine Portland-related things, and we're going to find a way to screw this deal up. And that's where it was enlightening from Wright yesterday, because he's gone through agreements in Oklahoma City that they've worked through,
Orlando
that they've worked through, Sacramento that they've worked through. And almost every component of what the amendments are that the city is asking for from the team. Now, you could say there's a slightly different number here or there.
They're asking for more.
Or
than
a little bit more than
cities.
Another market. But none of these are outrageous claims by the standard right. of other deals negotiated between cities and teams to renovate arenas. And then on top of that, I thought the biggest thing that the county and the city needed to do, because I have been of the opinion the entire time, if you get to this phase of it, the NBA gets more involved of saying, right. don't be an idiot, okay? The league cannot have local government entities putting $500 million up, over $500 million up, for renovations on an arena and an owner balking at that over a percentage point on a increase in a this or that, because it would absolutely nuke them in any negotiation going forward with any local city, state, or county right. government when this is going to happen in how many different markets across the league in years to come. It behooves the NBA, and this has been the thought process locally behind the scenes the entire time, that there's been a wink and a nod from Adam Silver of like, if you just approve it and put the money forward, I will help get this thing over the finish line and tell Tom Dundon to stop being an idiot, because you're not going to find this deal. And we've gone through the pitfalls of every other market that they could potentially move to, and we don't need to do that segment again. And so last week, I believe the county vote, correct me if I'm wrong, was 3-1, right? It was over
4-1.
4-1, thank you. So it was overwhelming.
But
you only had one naysay vote. Nonsense, sure. But what was the end result, right? 4-1. It wasn't he didn't squeak by. It wasn't 3-2. In this case, it wasn't 6-6 with the mayor breaking the tie. You had the majority of the city council in an 8-4 vote saying, here's our term sheet. This is what we want to start negotiating with. Now, again, to the larger point, we're a long ways away from the finish line of this thing.
You got a lot of work to do in a couple
of months. A lot of work to do in the next 4 months. But I, in a weird sense, yesterday saw this news and felt like a lot of the leverage, to a certain extent, it's back on the city side here. And the Blazers released a statement in responding to this. Let me find it. I got it in my notes. Hold on. And then I'll give you some dates and what's to come and all that in the next steps. Here is the statement from Dwayne Hankins, the president of business operations for the Portland Trail Blazers. Quote, I want to thank Mayor Wilson, Council President Dunphy, and City Council for their efforts to this point. We appreciate today's actions and acknowledge there is still meaningful work ahead as we continue negotiations. Our goal remains the same, to reach a deal that allows the Trailblazers to succeed on the court and as a business, supports a thriving Portland economy, and creates a path for the team to remain in Portland for decades to come. We look forward to continuing to work with the city's negotiating team in good faith, addressing the issues that remain, and finding a resolution that allows all of us to move forward together. And so that was the response from the Blazers, a very polite and respectful response. It wasn't you didn't get the anonymous piece last night from an Orem or a Quick article saying right. this is a non-starter, they can go pound sand, we're not negotiating with them. This is always the step that needed to take place in order to get to the phase where you can, to a certain extent, bring them to the table. We've now crossed that threshold. Now we see where it goes over the next 4 months.
We do, and we'll see who comes to the table. That'll be the interesting part.
Yeah. Is Dundon involved in these? Is it not? Are they reporting back to him?
So if it's Dwayne and their legal counsel and whoever, some representative of you know, who's ever doing the design, the architecture, whatever. If I was advising the Blazers at this point, I would want to have renderings or something tangible regarding what renovations, what it's going to look like, where we want to put that money, and get it out and get it public absolutely as soon as possible.
Yes, I think that would help.
They are going to balk at the $6+ million annual rent payment.
Yes, and we all know that.
And we all know that. That can't be the first thing that goes public and being a non-starter. They need to provide, okay, if you're willing to put that up, this is how we envision using that financing. This is how we think it will benefit the public. And they need to start the conversation there.
Yeah.
If they don't do that, their PR people messed up.
Right. Because I think the PR right now is on the city council side. Like they have been ridiculous for 90% of this process. And a lot of it has been, look at me. We're having campaigns when Dundon's in town. We're not giving money to billionaires. Like it's been chaotic and ugly from the start. And then when it came time to vote on the term sheet, now again, the Blazers are not going to agree to these terms.
No.
That's what the negotiating phase is for. But I didn't view any of them as like, oh my, they're not asking for $10 million a year in rent. And so I view it as a lot of the PR wins right now are on the side of the city in terms of that. The county was obviously chaotic, but again, they voted to approve the funding up to $120 million in a 4-1 overwhelming manner. And so they have sent multiple messages to the NBA of saying, we're ready to play ball. Here's our money. Here's the finances that you need in order to renovate. Here's what we promised that we would put up. Now, again, details, devil's in the details, and you got a long ways to go. But I think it's been a good PR win for them in that regard from the NBA standpoint. And for Blazer fans, I'd imagine, I mean, I don't know where the majority of Blazer fans are at. Maybe a lot of you still think the team's leaving. I don't know.
According to some of the viewer polls. Now, on news sites and that sort of thing, I don't know versus, you know, hardcore Blazer fans. But they're not convinced yet. I'm not convinced yet. It was good that they got it done. They need to get the Blazers to the table in a workroom and start grinding on this as soon as possible.
That was not going to happen until this vote took
place. It wasn't going to happen, but I worry that what they've asked for in the initial one is going to make it harder for the Blazers to take the city and the group seriously.
Interesting.
I think they asked for a lot over the top. To the point where I think Portland thinks they might be bluffing a little bit.
Sure.
Where the Blazers think that, okay, they're just bluffing.
Yeah.
They just wanted to get it done to put something on. They had to appease these other people. When you look at some of the details of the Sacramento deal and the OKC deal and the Orlando deals that were mentioned previously, what Portland's asking for is a chunk over the top of those.
No doubt about it. They went a little bit higher.
So
I think there's a certain aspect in my head where I believe both sides are playing a game of chicken right here.
No question. They're still doing that. The problem is, you may think the city has, maybe taken a little bit more control of leverage. I don't, because there's the time is, for with that state bonding issue and the way that the time frame works, they got to get it done in the next little bit.
Yes, they do.
And I don't know if they are so far apart to start that they got enough time to get down there.
Well, here are some of the dates to keep them. Actually, you know what? How about this? We'll take a little break. Put a little pin in it. How are you feeling right now about this? Are you optimistic? Still concerned? What DEFCON number are you now that we got an 8-4 vote from the city council yesterday? 503-864-6326. That is a fan text line. A little bit more on this and some key dates to keep in mind in the months to come, because this story will remain for the next couple of months until we reach a final deal, hopefully by the end of the year. So a little bit more on that, and then we'll get some college football stuff coming up top of the hour. Back after this on the fam. All right, we'll talk a little college football coming up top of the hour. A question that I've been pondering. I'm wondering, how deep is your field? And we'll get to that coming up 12 minutes from now. Brady Henderson in the final hour of the show. Preseason football is back tonight, baby. I can't wait. This stupid Moda Center crap. Can we just get back to talking about football?
Red 85. Is that hot?
I'm so tired of it. But nonetheless, I remain optimistic. And maybe I'm alone in that world. I will say a couple of reasons why I'm optimistic on this and have been the entire time. Is that one, I just don't buy the idea that there's a lot of viable options for the Blazers, and I haven't the entire time. Like, Nashville, it gets thrown out there. The Grizzlies, if they move, are going to move to Nashville. They're already playing regular season games in Nashville. Oh, by the way, the Predators own the building that they would play in if they moved to Nashville. So now you're renting out in a second tenant in a building where you're not able to make the same level of income. Austin, Texas. Guess where the San Antonio Spurs play a couple of regular season games next year?
Yeah.
And who is also going through an arena dispute with a mayor and a local government? San Antonio! Yeah. So, like,
that's not going to happen.
This idea, so you could throw St. Louis at me, I guess. Kansas City just balked at the idea of renovating a stadium for the Chiefs! The Chiefs! And the Kansas City Royals, which, whatever. But they didn't want to fund either of those. Their teams are moving to Kansas, man. So, like, now they're going to renovate their basketball arena for the Portland Trail Blazers? And again, I hope I'm not wrong on that, and I pray every night and I close my eyes I'm not wrong on that. I don't think there's these, you know, massive viable threats, and I also don't think that the NBA, as dumb and shady and skeezy as Adam Silver is, he doesn't want teams to move. Sacramento was going to move, and guess what Adam Silver told him? No, figure out a deal. You're not going anywhere. And guess what they had to do? They had to crawl back to the table and figure out a deal. And so I have come at this from the notion of I think both sides are bluffing to a certain extent, right? The city doesn't want to be seen as we're giving this bailout to billionaires. The Blazers have this looming, ooh, Dundon's creepy character. He might be moving the team. I don't think there's a lot of viable chances that that happens. A couple of reasons why I'm optimistic in the local terms in terms of the deal going forward are, one, the negotiations that will happen from here on out will not take place with the city council.
No, so they will be private.
It is private.
They will be,
somebody will keep the city council up to date.
They'll keep them, and there'll be a open hearing or something where there'll be an update. It'll be on the record. And say,
Steve Novick is not going to be in a room with Tom Dundon hashing out details on tax payments. That's not how this is going to go. So you're going to have level-headed people, I would imagine, on both sides, from the city side and the team side, of saying, okay, let's get the noise out of the way and figure out how this works. Now, the city council will eventually have to vote to approve the final deal at the end of it.
They got
to
vote on something in December, and then they got to vote again. So if they so it'll be a vote on the final term sheet.
Yes.
It's like, all right, after negotiation,
here's the rent payment, here's the tax,
here's here's that. Then and then there will actually be a lease.
Yes, a new lease signed.
Up.
Yes.
And that'll have to be approved. That's the final piece before the state's bond
can
issue
kick in.
Can get done.
And then the city council signs off it. And
monies actually start flowing back and forth.
So part of that is encouraging for me that the city council is not involved with that. And they will eventually have to vote. But the other part of it that I'm encouraged by, that I thought Wright brought up a great point yesterday, and I can't remember if he said this on the air or off the air, because we chatted for a bit after the show.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it's important to note that a lot of this stuff, like, it's politics, man. These people are campaigning. There were people at the city council hearing yesterday with no bailout for billionaires sign. Like, those people exist in this city that just view this as a bailout for billionaires, which, whatever, dude, to each their own. I couldn't disagree more, but whatever. This final vote is going to take place after the what? What happens in November?
Yeah, after the elections.
Okay, so political season is done. The election is over. Now we get to December. Everybody's moved on from that point. And then to me, there's a bit of a freeing up of, like,
well, the only
this isn't a political campaign
anymore.
That
is, how many new counselors might there be?
Sure. And maybe the new counselors are more level-headed than the ones previous because people are tired of this nonsense. Although it is Portland, probably not the case.
Go the other way, too.
It very well could. A couple of dates to keep in mind. This came from Dunphy, the council president. October 14th, they have a work session tentatively scheduled for the public to hear updates on where they're at. So there will be a middle of October, so about 2 months from now, there will be a scheduled hearing where they're going to give updates to public test. You know, you can kind of public testimony, and here's where we're at. This is what's been debated. This is kind of where we're at. And then December 17th is the final council meeting of the year and a possible vote on definitive documents. They've also revamped the city website to break down details of the deal. And so if you want to go find more of this, you can go to the city website.
Yeah, I'll have to dive into more. I caught, you know, the gist of it. But, yeah, we'll go dive in more. You know, and my big question, I said it yesterday, I think both on and off the air, was I will start to believe we have reached some sort of common ground when Tom Dundon comes and sits in a room and is ready to go.
Yeah. If he's president negotiations, it feels like
I don't
closed.
Think he's ready to come to the table with what the city's presenting.
No. And we all knew that going in. They're not going to sign up on that.
That's frustrating for me.
Yeah, and I
we
get
don't
it.
Have much time.
I guess what would be the my counter to that would be, because I certainly agree. They asked
because that's
for too
what
much
I would
they
be.
Know they're not
I would
get
have
it.
Advised him in all of this nonsense.
What
to
would
begin
you have
with.
Asked for then?
Huh?
What would you have asked for then in rent and tax payments? How low would you have gone in your opening salvo?
I would
2
have...
million, 2.5? Like, what's the appropriate number there?
Well, I don't understand enough about what the that tax offset thing is to begin with. That I need to go do some research on.
Yeah.
So that's, and I don't know if that's new or that's been existing and that was just part of the deal. And then, but I would think based on some of the other reporting on some of the other deals, somewhere between 1.5 and 2 rent seemed to be what other... So, but
right.
as I said,
but what, and again, they got to go back to the negotiating side of it, though. So that's where you're probably going to end up.
See, I hate negotiating.
I mean, I get that.
I would have been like, dude, final offer, take it or leave it. Let us know, and we're moving on.
Yeah.
And I think the city might be like, I might go that route with Dundon. I'm not going to negotiate.
And this is my point, is if he does get to the point of coming, they could say, like, look, we know you're not going to say yes to this. What's the number he's saying yes to? 2? 2 is good? Can we do 2?
Yeah.
2.2? 1.75? What do we need to go to? What's the number that you reach?
And then
you
find an agreement. And been more hard and fast, line in the sand. This is what the deal is. Take it or leave it. But tell us what you're going to do so we can plan for the next thing.
Yeah. It's a tricky negotiation. There's no doubt. We got a lot of hurdles still to get over. But I, at least nice to see 8-4 vote. And a majority of the city council members voted yes on the amendments. And now we'll wait and see how the Blazers respond in their negotiations and where it goes from here. Now the negotiations will go behind closed doors until the middle of October. So we might not hear much on this in the coming weeks unless people are leaking stuff to the media. We have a lot to get to in the next hour of radio. We will get to the Magic Hat a little bit earlier than usual because we have Brady Henderson coming up at 9:25. And so we'll do Magic Hat at the end of the hour and then get to it at the top of the next hour. But let's start with a question in college football. How deep is the pool? How far down can we go? And I'll explain. We'll play that next on The Fan.